Good morning. My name is Wes. I want you to know I love you. Today, I come with a message. It's kind of weird. Come with a message of hope and love today. I really just wanted to love on you today. It's like a big group hug session, you know. I will warn you, I am a little emotional from the weekend still. And so as I thought about you and I thought about our people and as I prepared for the sermon, God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, "When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after the rain that brings grass from the earth." Let's stay there for just 1 second. I want to read this again. This is poetry at its finest. I don't want you to miss how beautiful this phrase is. It reflects on David, but ultimately points towards Jesus. It's talking about leadership in Israel. He is like the light of morning at sunrise, on the cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth and helps you catch a smallmouth bass. No, I'm just kidding. Put that there. You know, it's a real beautiful, peaceful morning. That's when leadership is right. "If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie." So David is reflecting on the end of his life. He's writing like his funeral words, what his life has meant. He's reflecting on the goodness of God. He's reflecting on his place in the history of God's people. He's reflecting on success. He's reflecting on failure. He is getting to the end. It's often called an epitaph. What will be written on your tombstone? And as we've gone through funerals over the last few weeks, and as I visited saints who are approaching that thin veil from this side to the other side of eternity, it makes you think. It makes you think about what kind of person you want to be. And today, I want you to think about the end of your life today. I want you to think about the kind of person you want to be. What kind of legacy that you want to live. And then ask yourself today, does that match up with who I want to be? And I have to ask the question as a pastor, looking at our church, looking at our ministries, looking at the way that we do things, are we in the center of God's will? Are we hitting at what God has called us to do, or are there some things that need to change? And with any answer, it's probably both and. It's probably we are doing some really good things, and there's some things the Lord needs to clean house here as well as we continue to do ministry. But I want to share with you some things that I think are really bright spots within our body, within the faith, within the ministry that are going on. And I want to just let, Romans 5 says, the Holy Spirit takes God's love and just downloads it into our heart. The Holy Spirit delivers the love of God so that your mind, body, and soul can understand it. And the whole point of the day to thinking of the end, thinking of legacy, thinking where we are, that we don't miss the overall point of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We can get so busy and do so much that we miss what's most important. So today is a reminder sermon. It's an encouraging sermon, and hopefully it's a loving sermon. So these are some thoughts that were just impressed on my mind to share with you today and to tell you I love you and why. And these are in no particular order. They were how they were downloaded in my mind. So don't try to follow this outline today. The first, I would like to say thank you to the finance team for your integrity, for the way that you handle our church's money. And that means a lot to me. That's something that would keep me up at night if I could not trust the people that were handling money. There are people who are widows who are on a fixed income and they give of that money. And they give it in honor of Christ who died for us, and that money is sanctified and holy. And we're to spend God's money wisely. And the work of the finance team, we are getting more money and doing more ministry than ever before because of their dedication, their penny-pinching ways, and the way they just do things, and they bring a lot of integrity to that team. Also, want to say thanks to Tanya Bunnell. She serves every week. I don't know how many hours. Her car's always here. And she volunteers, and she works just as hard as the paid staff. And we get a lot of time out of her, and she does that as a gift to the church. And when I see her, I'm always reminded. It makes me work harder. If someone's here for free, then I better be on task getting paid. And it's those kind of people who help this organization run in a way. So to the finance team and to the people who spend our money, if we were ever called into question or if there was ever receipt and doubt or if people want to know where our money's going, we can clearly, in a godly way, answer that question. And I want you to know that our money has 100% integrity. And if someone did go sideways, it wouldn't be long before we knew and dealt with the situation. So thank you to the finance team. To the mission team, Bonnie is the chair and the rest of the team. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. I mean, what happened this summer and what you saw last week and sending over 10% of the congregation over the seas is an amazing feat. I went to the meeting last week. They have a surplus in the account and are already investing in the next trips. And they're already looking at ways to be better partners and go deeper. They are knocking it out of the park in the mission team room. Again, these are volunteers who are not paid, who meet monthly. Sometimes if they need to meet more, they do it with great expertise. And we are getting better and better at local and foreign missions. And that's because of the smart and hard work of the mission team. Dan sits on that team as a pastor, and Randy is our elder. And again, wonderful, sweet people. The facility team. You know, I already mentioned Tanya. Bill Agee, again, is like a full-time staff member here. I don't know where he finds the energy. After he gets off work from his regular job, he slaves here at our church. And sometimes to the detriment of his own health, where he probably should say no. But he serves here in some amazing ways. And Jill goes above and beyond in the cleaning. And I just want to say to the Agee family, thank you. It does not go unnoticed. And your sweat and your tears that go into that. Brett Hall has picked up the helping locking up the building. You know, when you have someone like Joe Suter, and for many of you who don't know him, he closed up the building and opened it up for like over 40 years. And he was a system to himself. And after he passed away, the parking lot actually started getting dirty. And no one it took a while to realize, why is there so much trash in a parking lot? It's because Joe picked it up and never told anybody. And people have had to step up. It takes a lot of people to replace someone like Joe. And so saints that have gone and people are stepping into those roles. So this finance, mission, facility team all falls under Janet's category of how to run a church. And the building, the finances, and the staff, and the personnel, Janet has done a tremendous job as a staff member with all those details. And she's helping run the campaign. She doesn't know anything about electricity or how a building should work, but she has to get the people around her that do. She's really good at finances and helping out in some other areas. They have done a tremendous job as a team and a group of people. And as a pastor, I could not be more thrilled with the administration of our church and where it's heading because of these quality, Christ-like, caring people who do their job. Which brings me to the elders. Tim Sponsel, Rita Hiley, Joy Wolfenberger, Randy Wolf, Robin Fultz, Jim Jack just joined our team, and Christy Henry just left. Sometimes I'm bummed because I have to call them with so much bad news to help them help me make a decision. But I want you to know that the overseers of this church and where the final buck stops here kind of moments and the people who make decisions and pastor this church and who have the authority of how things go, I give glory to God for the kind of people that sit in that room. And as they make Christ-like, godly, pastoral decisions, this church is in great hands with their leadership. And I want you to know that they work hard, they serve, and it's a thankless job that requires a lot of tough calls. And sometimes you make a lot of people mad when you make those kind of decisions and people don't understand. And sometimes you can't even communicate to the greater body why the decision was made. But these elders are full of integrity and I trust them with every decision. I want you to know that you're in good hands. And to the elders who serve, thank you. God sees. Yesterday we had a funeral. There's a funeral team. Diane and Ron headed up. And a funeral team, a dinner may not sound like a big deal to you, but when a family's hurting and a family wants a meal, sometimes that meal is the most cathartic thing that happens that day and means a great deal for no one in the family to have to think about someone or have a living room big enough to house everyone. And for me, when I see, and again, sometimes I say things that are really stupid, and this might be one of them, and I mean this as a compliment, but when you see older hands out that might even be arthritic that are washing dishes to love other people, Christ is in the room. And to the funeral team, all those who serve and bring meals and wash and you're there for other people, I want you to know that I love you and God sees what you do and it matters. To the Joy Circle, who supports missions around the world, and again, it's the same kind of thing, I mean it as a compliment. They're old and their back hurts, yet they go in there and the dishwashing machine was broke down and they scrub dishes so they can do missions around the world and support children and feed them. God sees and God cares. This past week, for me, was one of the most fun weeks of ministry I've ever had. The Amanda team, which comprises of Lindsay Short, Chris Short, Janet Reese, and Becky Parsons, they pulled off a back-to-school event at Amanda. I don't know what the numbers were in the past years, but you know, we were worried about turnout, but there were 450 students at the school, so you had to kind of prepare for a lot of people, and only 30 people might show up. We quit counting after about 350 or 400 people showed up, and AK Still gave backpacks on top of the ones that we gave, and the community showed up with all kinds of resources for these families who battle poverty and need help. And it was just a wonderful job done by this Amanda team, greeting these students and offering encouragement back to the school. Out of the money that we raised in mission, we were able to feed all the Amanda teachers before they went back to school and we took them to the Olive Garden. And they were pumped. They went and met all of their students. So they go knock on every door to let them know that school is starting. And then we got to gather, and Tammy Call always helps with feeding the teachers and running those resources down. And it was an amazing time. And I was like a kid in a candy store, because I was remembering back to search team 7 years ago. They actually asked me the question, what do you think about going forward with Amanda? And I'm sitting there dying on the inside, trying not to act too excited. That's the neighborhood I grew up in. You mean that's the church's number one initiative? That's what's on the, yeah, I think we'll be able to do that. You know, and so to see that come into fruition and to see this team, you know, Becky changed schools so that she could be a teacher down there joining the mission. There's a prayer walk that was happening. And God is on the move and beginning to do something. And we as a church need to pray and commit to being with that school. I was at Java Johnny's this past weekend. And I was talking to another pastor in town about the Hispanic church here. a community leader that does English as a second language came over and heard our conversation, and she's invited the La Petina Balin Church to sponsor Wildwood and come in and be a part of that. So God is doing something with the education system here in Middletown. I don't know if you've caught on to it, but people are beginning to be pumped again about Middletown City Schools. And as a church, it is our job to back education and be behind the local schools and be with them and be inspiring. Churches for years, the kingdom of God, wherever the kingdom of God goes, few things happen. Women and children are uplifted. Hospitals and schools are planted. And that is a tradition that must continue in Christendom. If we don't care about education and hospitals and women and children and the most vulnerable, like the homeless in our communities, we have no business preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from a loving Savior. The doctrine does not matter without the acts behind it. And we're so pumped. Every week I walk past a food pantry and I see people that are being hugged and loved on and cared for and loved. And it's a beautiful thing. You see this thing? Now, I'm kind of nostalgic and I like artifacts. This is something pretty cool. You see, it's got the tube transistors back here. I received it this past week. I was praying about something that's not going great in our body, something we need to do a lot better on, is visitation to the shut-ins and visitation to those who are incapacitated. And as your pastor today, I'm asking you for help, and I need lots of help with this. We have about 50 to 60 people on that list who are former members here who need loved on. And the visitation team was doing good for a while, and then we had this big meeting, and we had 40 or 50 people show up. We fed them Subway. They signed up. I thought we hit a home run. They were going to get a once-a-week visit. And for whatever reason, that meeting, and it didn't continue. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, everybody stopped visiting other people. And Shirley was talking to me. Shirley Butts is 83. She visits all of them at least once a month after she gets done picking up trash in the neighborhood and all sorts of other various activities. As I was praying about this ministry, I received this artifact from Gene Frame. It said, Dr. R.C. Caudill, pastor of Crawford Street Church of God, was concerned for the sick. This is one of those receivers issued to shut-ins, probably in the late 1930s or 40s, who were unable to make it to church. The electrical receiver was connected to the telephone line, which allowed the listener to hear the Sunday morning worship service at the same time others were gathered in the sanctuary. Isn't that awesome? In my office, on a Wednesday, I was on my knees asking God to do something. On Thursday, I received this artifact. We need, as a church, to do a better job with visitation to our most vulnerable, the people who have already came here, served, and are awaiting heaven. And I need your help. You're going to be hearing about a meeting in a couple weeks. We're going to go back into that meeting. And we're going to do a better job at training and getting people ready, come up with innovative ways to do it. But we can't continue as a church and talk about church growth, talk about building and doing new inciting ministries if we don't take care of who we already have. It doesn't have integrity. And why reach one more when you don't take care of what you have? And as a pastor, I need your help. And sometimes the verbiage is, why don't the four pastors take care of it? It's still too much work, and we need lots of hands to make that load light, and it's not that hard of a ministry. It's giving you presence. It can be discouraging at times, but we need help doing so. I'm super stoked about the La Petina Balin. You know, four of their pastors are being ordained in the Church of God. They're joining the movement. There's another 21 churches around the United States that were connected to them who were trying to find a home. They've asked me to travel to Mexico to meet the other 1,000 people that are down there without a home. So I contacted Anderson and the Concilio and the Church of God in Mexico. We're going to try to connect them, and 1,000 more people might come into the Church of God under our organization. So I have to fly down there and meet these people. Everyone that's involved that hears I'm going is really nervous about what I'm going to agree to down there. So they're going to make sure that I have a chaperone and I don't get to say much. But, and I'm not joking, they really mean that. But it's an exciting thing These sweet people were rocked in their building. I want you to know why next week's so important. They were in our old Crawford Street building, and that's how the relationship started. Just by knocking on the door, we wanted to go back in there for a history moment during the centennial. That building didn't work out. We left it in 75, so you can imagine what it's like now. And they were charged a lot of money to be there. They were now out from under that lease and out from under that building. But when some things happened in their old movement down in Mexico, they kind of lost their identity and they've been sad. And they don't have a home. When they come in here next week and they participate in our worship service and they prepare this food and they want to be a part of our congregation and partner with us and be who we are. It is the uttermost importance that we show the greatest respect and love and kindness and thankfulness. These are the sweetest people I've ever met. They have character and kindness and hard work, and they want to contribute in some awesome ways. They don't like that they're not contributing to our greater body and to the greater body of the Church of God yet. So next week, as we have a celebration with these people, it is going to be an awesome day. Now, where's that going? I don't know. It's kind of fun just to let God take it step by step. I think the shortest term is that this congregation gets healthy, and if they ever wanted to leave here, we don't own them or they don't owe us anything. And maybe it's a time period where they come here and get real healthy and launch out. They have communicated to us that they would like to remain here long term and they would like to be a part of our fabric. They've already joined children's ministry, which Tammy Call has knocked it out of the park integrating those ministries, and they're just getting started. The youth ministry, the kids adapted very quickly. Where could that ministry go and where could it go? I don't know where it's going. It's a week by week conversation that we're having with them, asking what's best for them and what's best for us, but they are so easy to work with. So as you come next week, that is a milestone for our church. When we pray about different things, God has really tested our character over the last few years. In children's ministry, we prayed that God would take our children's ministry, the educational system, to the next level. And the staff had lots of things on the whiteboard that we'd like to accomplish. Do you know what we received was a special needs child that takes 8 to 10 people to take care of her? And the people that work with this beautiful child made in the image of God is what God wants us to focus on. Where we thought that we would expand the ministry and grow, God sent us one child to love really well. And for all those who are involved in that and who are working on it, that's the kind of character in church we need to be. That's what we need on our epitaph. That's what needs to be written in our epilogue, that we are there for those who need us most. And it's not about our expanding ministries. It's not about our name or our personal glory or what our church can accomplish. It's about the heart of God being downloaded in the hearts of our people. And for those of you who week in and week out are learning how to do that, I cannot wait till we have a full-blown special needs ministry here. That's the prayer. There are people that are in school this week to learn about autism so that we can better take care of those who are in need. That excites me as a pastor. And for those of you who have volunteered to help out, God bless you and keep doing it. That reflects the heart of Christ in this generation. And yesterday, as we went into the year of prayer, it seems like everyone got sick. And that's a rough thing as a pastor, right? You're thinking, okay, year of prayer, we're going to have transformation and breakthrough. But God has a funny way of teaching us things, does he not? And there was great pain and hurt in our body. And I know a lot of you here today are sad, and the reason I want to hug you is because if I went around visiting and talking to different people, there's always something big going on in all of your lives, but yet this body has an extra pain because it's losing people that it loves. And over this past weekend, we lost someone special to a lot of people here, Amy Sebastian, who is now left behind 4 kids in a situation is rough for people to watch and to emotionally handle. But yesterday at the service, I watched her daughter sing a song. And the song was about how good God is. And I was overwhelmed by the beauty, the depth, the hurt of that moment. As her mom testified through other people of God's goodness. And what did they have to go on? That way before her time that she passed away from cancer and her body was riddled with cancer. But through the testimony of her friends, it was said, don't think poor Amy, think about God's glory and how much he loves you. And then they played a song which was overwhelming to me. I've never heard anyone sing their own song at a funeral, but she sang a song called The Rose. And I don't know how the family endured it because I could barely get through it hearing the song. And afterwards, I saw Kylie, who sung the song and proclaimed God's goodness. She had a dress with the rose on it, roses all on it. I'm colorblind, so it took me a minute to see the pattern. And I was like, that's a pretty dress. You wore that in honor of your mom, obviously. And I said, where'd you get that dress? How'd you find that? And it cracked me up in a moment. We both laughed and had a moment. She said, Goodwill. And it was like, she told me Saks Fifth Avenue. I'd believe her where she got the dress. But to see the character of the people who led worship and being so young and her sons testifying and all that, I was blown away by the goodness of God and who they are and their character and the depth of what people have said and done. And friends, our family is going through a hard time. It is unmistakable. When we started the year of prayer, I think by the end of it, we were up to 26 people who were battling cancer. 26 people. That's a lot. That seems like a lot. A lot and a lot of people. People are passing. People are dying. And all the time, life goes on and all the normal routines must continue. But let me remind you, in this cloud of a world, all the things I discussed, that is beautiful and good. But let me remind you the point of all this activity, all these relationships, all these songs, gathering together on Sunday morning, is so that we can declare the goodness of Jesus Christ. That our lives pale in comparison to his greatness and his glory and what that means. And if we would just allow God to move in us and through us, what would our epilogue be? What do we want to be as a people? What do we want to be going forward as a church? Who is it? What are we about? What are our core values? Who are we as a people? Do we want to proclaim the love of God and live in holiness and the freedom that God gives us? Or are we going to write our own story? Let me tell you the last words of Jesus Christ. The last seven sayings. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I hope on our epilogue that it has a story of forgiveness and that everybody matters and that no one's left on the outside. He looks at the thief on the cross and says, today you will be with me in paradise. It's a pretty good gig for the thief, right? Not at the moment he's being crucified, but he lived this crazy life. He met Jesus. He actually saw his greatness and repented, and he got a straight ticket to heaven last second. Jesus offers amnesty to the rebels and has unlimited grace for villains and people who sin and rebel against his name. And all of us should not see ourselves as the pious church member clothed in purple, but the whole point of the gospel is that you are the thief on the cross, and Jesus says, today, if you believe in me, you'll be in paradise with me. He looks at his mother and the disciple he loves and says, behold your son. Behold your mother. What a tender moment at the end of Christ's life to make sure that his mom had a social security program and a house over her head and protection as he's being wasted away on the cross. Would you not forgive Christ if he had other matters on his mind for what his mother would be doing over the next few days? Yet in his omnipotent will, he looks down in this tender moment and takes care of his mother, honoring his parents. My God, why have you forsaken me? The suffering and the wrath of God that's laid upon Jesus Christ at this moment, being separated from him from the first time in eternity and having the wrath of God poured out upon him, reflecting back to Psalm 22, where the enemies have encircled David. We see him worshiping even though wrath is being poured out upon him. And why? For our sins, for God's glory, and so a bridge might be built. He says, I thirst. Jesus experienced the Spirit of God without limits. John 7:37 says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We find in the Old Testament of traveling with the Israelites that there was a rock, and that water, they'd strike it, and water would come out in a desert land. Jesus became thirsty so that you could drink of God's life and his fountain and his power. He became nothing. He became obsolete so that you could drink of the Holy Spirit. Today you are the temple of God, and God's Spirit rests inside you because of Christ's last words. And then he said, it is finished. Jesus came to do what he said he would do. And he made a new covenant with us, calling us sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, filled and anointed with his Spirit. He even proclaimed that we would do greater works than he did himself. And on the cross, he secured all of that with his death and what would be his resurrection. And when it was finished, he lived a sinless life, not giving into the temptation that we've all given into, lived that perfect life and fulfilled the prophecy of being the Lamb of God, spotless and without blemish before the Father, being the one who could go into heaven and be the perfect sacrifice. Being the Son of God, being made low, a servant, even to the point of death. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He releases himself and he ascends to heaven. And where is he at now? The Bible teaches that he's at the right hand of the Father, advocating for your prayers, advocating for you, that he's your personal defense lawyer, speaking on your behalf, advocating to the Father. How long will he be there? Psalms 110 says, my Lord said unto my Lord, come sit at my right hand until I make all thy enemies thy footstool. The reigning king will come back, and he will make every wrong right. And those who have turned to him in grace will receive amnesty and will receive a clean bill of justified, not guilty, being children who play in the kingdom of God forever. That's our Lord's epilogue. That was, if they wrote on his tomb, those would be his last words. Friend, what will our last words be individually, and what will they be as a church? What I want to do by communicating this sermon to you today is that you do a lot of things good, and the Holy Spirit is flowing free here, and God's love is present. There are some things we need to clean up as a church. There are some things that we could do better at, and those are hard and painful. But I would ask you, I want to tell you this. Your leadership is doing a knockout job behind the scenes, and you can trust them. I would not tell you that if it was not true. They love you and care for you. Will we keep the main thing, loving God and loving one another? Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are and what you do. For the many ministries that are represented, all the ones we did not discuss today or get to, for all the beautiful saints who do ministry week in and week out, may we remember that one day we will pass and a story about us will be recorded. God, may we get it right. May we not define the gospel for ourselves, but by the life of Jesus Christ. May we not become so self-focused that we forget what all this activity is about, where all the money goes and all the ministry, that it really is to glorify you through your Son, by your Spirit. And as a body, may we be broken today. May we pray. May we cry out. May we repent. And may we be on focus with you. Father, let not gossip or backbiting or worrying about ourselves be named among us. May you download your heart into us for the vulnerable, for those with special needs, for those who have no family or do not get a visit. God, that you would do a mighty work in us and through us. God, do not let our church expand another person if our heart is not right. May we not be worried about personal glory or our standing upon this earth, but may our hearts be rendered for your glory. May it be our focus. May it be the thing that we chase more than anything else. And may we sing and dance in your love. And may we not give each other a hard time, but we will see that everyone has pain and tears, and everyone's trying to make it through this life the best way they know how. And may we offer grace and understanding and ears, and not our words of advice, but a loving friend who will be there with them until the end. God, I thank you for people like Betty who sit with Linda week in and week out. May we be that kind of church. May we not be looking for places of honor and position. May we be at the table washing feet. God, thank you for these beautiful Christ-like people. And may you love on them. May you download your love into them right now. And may we remember what it's all about. That you said the greatest commandment is to love you with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.